Amen. That's a wonderful song. Until the day. Until then. That's what we're supposed to keep on doing, right? Keep on going. Keep on moving forward. Also enjoy this song about where our anchor holds. Thankful that we have something we can hold on to, and that rock is Jesus. Let's go to Luke chapter 14 tonight. Luke chapter number 14. We're also going to look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 a little bit. So if you want to find your place there, you can. You might know that one by heart. But Luke chapter number 14 is where we're going to start off tonight. The title of tonight's message is A Disciple. A Disciple. I've had the privilege of going through discipleship class with two different couples here for a number of weeks, and the message I was going to preach tonight was the one we did on Sunday afternoon, a little bit about making sure we had the right focus when Jesus had told the disciples, hey, look, you don't be worried about when the kingdom's coming, but remember, you're going to receive power after that. The Holy Ghost has come upon you. So be worried about being spirit-filled. Also be worried about the souls of man. And the angels even looked at him and says, What are you doing steadfastly? They were looking up in heaven and says, what are you doing looking up there? There's something you're supposed to be doing. Let's go ahead and start doing it. And but the discipleship class, there's a lesson there that talks about the life of a disciple. And this message isn't completely, obviously, based off of that. But Lord just kind of spoke to my heart as I was seeking what we should preach about tonight, about what is a disciple. If I went around the room or if people said, hey, are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? I mean, probably most people would raise their hand. Yeah, that's me. I'm a disciple. But the Bible says there's specific things that a disciple will do. And it's kind of interesting that the word disciple, anybody know what it means? This is the interacting part. I know you guys all hate. But anybody know what the word disciple means? Mr. Humbert? So that's what a disciple looks like, but the Bible word disciple, if you looked it up in the Strong's Concordance, it actually says one certain thing. It's a student or a learner, or it's a pupil. It's the idea there. And now I like what Mr. Humber said, because that's what we all think about is it's a learner. And here's the thing, that if you're going to be a disciple, you have to learn from Jesus Christ. And if you learn from Christ, then you get to be what Mr. Humbert said, a devoted follower. And there's this verse that's found in Matthew. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. What's that next phrase? And learn of me. So tonight, when we think about discipleship, I want you to look at it, at least the way that the Lord kind of laid upon my heart is, if I'm ever going to learn about God, and if we think a disciple is the person that is a committed follower, that is the byproduct of being a disciple. But if we're ever going to learn what we need to learn, he gives some prerequisites here. He says, ye cannot be my disciple. So in my mind, it's saying you're never going to learn what you need to learn unless you're willing to do this. And in the day and time we live at, I think we're all begging God and asking God, what am I supposed to do in this crazy world? What am I supposed to do? Mr. and Mrs. Gregor are staying home tonight because last night he said about 200 people protesting outside his house. Not just because it's his house, but because that's where they were walking. And people were yelling and all this stuff. You can imagine them only being 15 or 20 feet from your front door as they're walking by. That can be a little bit discouraging or a little bit like, who knows what's going to happen. I know that they have not done any damage. They have not done all those different things. You can discuss or debate whether or not you think it's peaceful to block traffic. That's a whole different discussion. But what do you do? I mean, they wanted to come to church, but they felt like, who knows, they've been blocked in a couple times this week because that's the location where people are protesting, at least some of it is. And so what are you supposed to do? I mean, when people are coming up there, I had somebody yesterday ask me what I thought about what was going on, and it's probably not the best thing in the world to ask me. So I responded with a couple questions and got into a conversation a little bit with somebody, and they were obviously I says, look, I think we all want truth. We all want justice. And what one person's version of justice is and what my version is two different things. But, what's justice found in the Bible, what's truth is, that's what we go by. So when we're thinking about this disciple, it means a learner. So when you read these words tonight and we hear these things, the byproduct is a committed follower, like Mr. Humbert says. But it's saying here that ye cannot be my disciple, which is saying you're not going to learn what you need to learn unless you do these things. And I think it's a challenge. I read these words and look at this message, and it speaks to my heart and saying, man, I still got a long way to go. But if I'm going to learn the things I need to learn to be able to be an effective witness and to be a true committed follower of Jesus Christ, I can't just be on the outside looking in. He says, this is what you need to do if you truly want to be someone who's going to learn of me. We all have knowledge. Our hearts, or maybe our brains, are many times filled with knowledge. There's people that can quote scripture, and there's people that have been having more and more knowledge piled upon you all over and over for your whole entire lives. We all have knowledge of God, but are we truly learning from him, learning from Christ? He says, learn of me. And so let's jump in here and let's see what some of these verses. I bet you many of these are not unfamiliar to you, but let's look what it says in verse number 25. And there went great multitudes with him. So he's there, Jesus is popular, and he turned and said unto them. Now, you know, Jesus not trying to get a crowd here. He actually says things that causes people to go away. He's not trying to be the shiny object that people follow after. He's looking for people who's going to learn of him. He's looking at people who's going to be a committed follower. But the only way we're going to be a committed follower is if we learn of him, if we understand what it means, and we make that decision. Jesus says things, and there's a big crowd, and everybody says, oh, that's what we want. We want a big crowd. We want a big crowd. And it's nice to have people to minister to. It's nice to see people saved and baptized and discipled and be a part of the church. It's true. But Jesus wasn't really looking for a big crowd. He could have had the thousands upon thousands, but he wanted them to know the truth. There was only a certain number of people sitting up in that upper room that was waiting for that the fulfillment of the Holy Ghost. So he wasn't looking for a big crowd. He was looking for people who were willing to learn about him. And we got to remember that as a church, numbers are not the most important thing. Now, sometimes churches use that as an excuse for why it's dying and why we don't see people growing and why we don't see things. And that's not using it as an excuse, but numbers are not as important as quality. Quantity is not as important as quality. When it comes to spiritual lives, we need to make sure that we're learning of him. That's what a church is there for, is to see people saved, but also to help nurture and raise up the people that are there and helping them grow and for the perfecting of the saints. But the only way we're going to perfect it is if we learn of it. Now, let's look at these challenging verses. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother, that's not a very good Mother's Day message, is it? Hate not your mother. I mean, that's, and wife and children and brother and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. So he's saying, you cannot be my disciple if you do not have the right affection. And that this is comparative, is saying that the love that you have for God is greater than the love you have for your family members. And you say, well, why is that in there? That's kind of silly. That seems out of place. No. Number one thing that many times people put in their churches, put before God, is their family. It's not the way it's supposed to be, but how many moms, how many grandmas that have such a love for their kids and grandkids that they love them more than they love God? And I'm not saying dads and granddads are perfect either, obviously, but there's a chance there that they become in front of God. And you know what that's called? That's called an idol. And that's why he's saying here, he goes and he uses these words and he says, look, hate not his father and his mother, his wife, children and brother and his sisters. It could be any of those. He says, you're not going to learn what you need to learn when you love other people more than you love me. That's tough. But if we want to learn what God wants us to do, you cannot be my disciples. He didn't say you're not going to be a good disciple. He says you cannot be my disciple. Let's keep on going. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So having the right affections, then doing what we're supposed to do. Bearing his cross, I think, is talking about God's will for your life. It's not literally taking the cross off the wall behind the screen and carrying it around with you. And some people think that's what it means. It means the cross was God's will for Jesus. And whatever God's will for your life is, that's when you're going to learn of me. When you have the right affections and when you're doing what you're supposed to do, then you're going to truly understand what I'm trying to teach you. And you're going to truly understand what I'm trying to show you. That's when you're going to be a pupil. That's when you're going to be a learner. Then it talks about some verses here, talks about counting the cost. And it's important to, if you're going to be a learner of Christ, it means that you're going to have to love him more than anyone else, and you're going to have to do his will, which is, it's a challenge to do in a day and time we live in, but count your costs. Is it worth it? And look what it says. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it. All that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So it's saying, hey, look, don't be foolish to start something unless you're going to finish it. Make sure you count the cost. When you say, I'm going to be a disciple, I want to learn of him, remember, it means that some people might not understand. People do not know God, do not love God, do not understand those that are trying to passionately follow after him. It just, they might appreciate it, they might agree with it, they might think it looks nice on paper, but they're not going to get it because they have the wrong passions. And the person that's following after the Lord, picking up his cross and following after him, same thing. You're going to have to count that cost because the world's going to look at you and say, why are you wasting your time? Why? I mean, you go to church four times a week? You mean you give an offering to that place? They're not going to understand that because they don't care about learning about God. They don't care about learning the situation. And he's saying, you cannot be my disciple unless you're willing to do these things. Now count the cost. And we're going to talk about that in a little while also. Let's keep on going. Verse 33. Likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. You're like, wow, am I not going to be able to learn what God wants me to learn unless I'm willing to forsake all that I have? Doesn't that seem unreasonable? Isn't God asking for too much? And that's what the world would tell you. That's ridiculous. I mean, you're saved. You're on your way to heaven. And you got the grace of God. Okay. You just kind of slide in instead of finishing strong. No. If we want to learn what the God of the universe has for us, if we want to be a pupil, if we want to be a learner, if we want to understand what a committed follower looks like, we're going to have to do those three things. Have the right affections, be willing to do God's will, and be willing to forsake everything we have if that's what he asks. Now, go to Romans chapter number 12 if you like, or as once I said, once again, some of you guys might know it by heart. You say, is it asking too much? So a disciple is someone, point number one, someone who is fully committed, someone who is fully committed. And when you talk about being fully committed, some people would say, that's too much, you're going overboard. You ever had somebody tell you that as a believer? I've had people tell me that all the time. You're just going too far, that's too much, that's too many church services, that's too much Bible, that's too much of this time and too much of that. But you come here to Romans chapter 12, and you look at verse number 1, it says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. And the Jewish people there would have known exactly what that was. There was a sacrifice that was given all those times, and pointing to a Christ, it means that there was something that was slaughtered. It means giving yourself completely, and not just completely, it's a living sacrifice, it's a continual thing. But many times we miss that first part. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. If we understand the motivation why we should present ourselves a living sacrifice, it kind of changes things. It doesn't seem so unreasonable. If we think about the fact that we are lost and undone, hell-bound sinners and deserve of eternity in hell, and that because of his mercy, we're not there anymore. We're not on that pathway. I know that we're saved by grace through faith. I understand that. But it's the mercy of God also that plays into that. We need his mercy. And so he says, I beseech you, therefore, with this motivation, with this type of thinking, you should present your bodies a living sacrifice. It's not that I'm trying to work my way to heaven. It's not that I'm trying to work for a position in a church. It's not even the fact that I'm trying to win someone's favor over. I see the mercy of God and the mercy that God has provided me by not giving me what I deserve. I am going to take my body because he has taken and saved my life, and I'm going to give my life over as a living sacrifice. And then it says, which is your reasonable. So the world would say, it's unreasonable, it's unreasonable, it's unreasonable. I shouldn't have to do that. That's too far, that's too much, it's over the top. And it's saying right there, if you consider the mercy of God, there is nothing that is too unreasonable. There is nothing that is asking too much. It is your reasonable service. And he's going back and he's saying, if you truly want to learn of me, if you want to understand what I'm trying to teach you, because that's what a disciple, he says, you cannot be my disciple unless you're willing to love me greater than any of those other people, unless you're willing to take your cross up and follow after me. And follow after me is not a, once again, he wants us to learn of him, unless we're willing to forsake all. If you truly want to be a disciple of his, we've got to be willing to present our bodies and say, okay, Lord, it's not my life, it's yours. I'm not saying, hey, I'm there, and I'm there every single day, and I'm doing. No, I'm not. I want to be there. When I read passages like this, it reminds me of those things I fail in, those things that God speaks in my heart at, and that's why I share it with you, because I want to learn of him. I want to know how to help counsel. I want to know what the next step's supposed to be. I want to know how to raise my kids. I want to know how to lead a church. I want to know all those things. And if I'm going to learn of him, you cannot be my disciple if you struggle with your affections, if you struggle with your God's will for your life, if you struggle with your love for this world. You're not going to learn the things that you're supposed to learn. We might come to church, we might sit there, but I think sometimes when we come to church services, we see a bunch of people that are interested in God, interested in being a fan of his, interested in singing his praises, but to truly learn what he's trying to teach us, we got to be willing to do these things. Think about it. It's a committed follower by the mercies of God presenting your body. Matthew chapter 10 puts it this way. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Once again, not a very good Mother's Day lesson, probably. But it's the same reality there. If you love someone else, even someone who you're supposed to honor, even someone you're supposed to obey more than me, you're not worthy of me. Now, I think that's kind of interesting. Are we ever worthy of him? And we would say in our own minds, no, but he's saying if you have the right love and you have the right affections, then he's saying that you can learn of him. And doesn't make you worthy in the idea that it's something that's expected and that you're on the same level, but he's making you a promise that he's willing to speak to you. He's willing that you can learn from him. And keeps on going. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. And I agree with you. I know that some of you might come afterwards. So no way, shape, or form are we worthy of him. He paid a sacrifice for us, and he has given us promises, and he has said that we can be filled with the Spirit. He has told us so many wonderful, great things. And here he's saying you can be a disciple, just like those others, Peter, James, and John, and all those other disciples that followed after him. They forsook all. Were they perfect? No. And the Lord hoped, but they learned things. And as they learned things, they were ready for the day that God called them to a certain work and God was able to use them, but they were still learning, like Peter up on the top of that rooftop. What is he doing? He's like, hey, I've never eaten anything unclean. He was proud of that. And the Lord says, look, what I call clean, don't you dare call it unclean. What's Peter doing there? He's learning what he's supposed to do in that day and time because God had something for him that he needed to do that Peter didn't understand. But if Peter wouldn't have been willing to forsake all, and if Peter wasn't willing to listen to him, and if Peter wasn't willing to put him first and say, okay, God, I don't understand what you're saying. I understand why you're saying it, but I want to learn of you. So many times we just don't want to learn what he's trying to teach us. We have in our mind already what we need to know. That's not a disciple. And it's not a disciple. That is being steadfast about the wrong things. being a disciple like Peter, I can't eat that, Lord. That's not what I'm supposed to do. No, it's a perfect example of someone who was willing to do and learn and grow. So, and he says, you cannot be my disciple. So the first thing I want you to think about is a disciple is someone who is fully committed. Second thing is they are committed. A disciple is someone who is following continually, fully committed and following continually. You can go back to Luke chapter number 14, and we looked a little bit just for a moment or two about the guy that's building the tower and the king that's going to war. It said ahead of time, hey, look, pay attention. Make sure you make a right decision. Count the cost ahead of time. Don't start doing it. But consider for just a moment what it is to be a disciple, to be someone who can learn about him. Consider what it is to be a committed follower of Christ and what it's not to be a committed follower of Christ. For just a minute or two, think about a committed follower of Christ that is in totally to learning what God has for us to do. Think about that type of life that is. Consider that. But then also consider about the person who knows God, has that knowledge about God, even a personal relationship with him, but is not willing to fully understand what God is trying to teach them and show them because they have different affections. They care about the world too much, and they're not willing to do the will of God for their lives. Over here, you have an individual that is probably outcast, probably not the most popular guy in the world, probably the person that many people don't want to listen to. But you have somebody that's faithfully following the Lord, probably going their own path. God is using, God is speaking to their hearts. And even though their family might not listen to them, they're somebody that's raising their families, they're being a productive member inside a good church. They're learning what God has for their lives. They don't question what they're supposed to be doing out in the world because they're walking with him and God is showing him and directing him and leading him and guiding him. But over here, a person, when you count the cost from the other side, that I'm just going to be a nominal Christian. I'm going to be someone who loves God, but maybe not love him as much, or at least it's the same level as my family. Or I'm going to be a nominal Christian and I'm going to do what I think God's will is. Doesn't mean I'm going to seek him and ask him what he wants me to do. I'm going to do what makes sense to me, and what makes sense to me must be God's will because God gave me a brain and God put me here. So because God gave me a brain and put me here, this must be what he wants me to do because I know some of the Bible and I come to church on a regular basis. Or because of the fact that I care about God, but versus compared to the world. So if I'm going to be a disciple, who's this person over here? This person over here is living according to their own knowledge. This person over here is making decisions based off what they think is best. And don't get me wrong, I look across the room and I see intelligent people and I see people who are basing decisions off of what they believe loving the Lord is and basing off decisions of knowledge of the Bible. And maybe they're getting it right some of the times, but how can we truly know perfectly what the will of God is for us when we don't follow his, try to be a disciple? When we don't try to learn from him. Because it wasn't me that said it, because I wouldn't have wrote that. I wouldn't have wrote that you cannot be my disciple. I would have wrote that you're just not going to be a very good disciple. That you're only going to learn a portion of what you need to learn. But he says, you can't be my disciple. You're not going to learn what I have for you if you have these things. So it's not only a committed follower, someone who is a continued, someone who's following continually, somebody who counts the cost. Next thing is, they're continuing in the word. Look to John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8. We have this word about disciple again, and it's kind of interesting. In John chapter number 8, verse number 30, he says, and as he spake these words, many believed on him. So once again, you got a big crowd there. It's great that people get saved. It's great to have a big crowd. But we're talking about those that are really interested in hearing from the Lord, a disciple, someone who wants to learn from him and willing to take whatever stops it is to learn from him. And he says, many believed on. Verse 31 says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. So once again, they're Jews. They're part of Judaism. If you look at the chapter earlier, it's talking about different things. There's religious leaders that are there. You're going to hear from them in just a second because they can't stay quiet. But he's there. He's speaking to these Jews, and he says to them, he says, if ye continue in my words, then are ye my disciples, indeed. Oh, no, no, they believed on him. That makes him a disciple. No, that makes him saved. And I know that vernacular, that terminology wasn't used at that moment in time. But they were on their way to heaven, but they weren't learning. He says, if you really, truly want to learn of me, you're going to have to continue in my word. You're going to have to stay steadfast. It's not just laying it all out there to get an answer for one moment and one moment in time, and then I'm just going to go do what I want. When God reveals to me who I'm supposed to marry, or when God reveals to me what job, or when God answers this one prayer, then I'm going to... I don't think God knows that already. He knows what's on your heart. So here's the thing. He says that if you will continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Here's the thing is, why are not more people disciples? Why are not more people learners and followers? And like I said, there's times in my life that I'm doing those things and God's speaking to my heart and I'm learning. But there's other times in my life I'm not that person that is just learning of the Lord. I'm going off my own wits because I maybe love something more than I was supposed to, or maybe I'm not following that perfect will. Over here, God is able to direct you and lead you. You know exactly what you're supposed to say and what you're supposed to do because you're learning of him. Learn of me. Over there, you're like, okay, this makes sense. Let's do this. We've all been there. It's what we have true to do. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraid if not. But he also talks about, hey, don't ask without believing. Don't ask understanding without, you need faith. Don't think if you don't have faith, you're not going to receive anything from the Lord. So why aren't more people disciples? And you can see here a little bit. They answered him. Now, who is it that's they? Are they talking about the Jews that just believed on him? Are they talking about people that were there? They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? They're asking a question. They want to learn. And it says here in verse 34, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. And you continue on, if the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which you have seen with your father. And he talks about their father, the devil, in verse number 44. It says, ye are of your father, the devil. So there's the interesting conversation that's going on there is, how are you going to be a disciple? What does that look like? Number one, it's one that's fully committed, but it's another one that is following continually. And that's when he uses those words back in verse 31. He says, will continue in my word. It will be someone that is continuing, listening and learning and growing. Then you'll be my disciples indeed. That is what you're going to. And they, I don't think it was them specifically asking the question. There's somebody there asking these questions that took offense to it. Well, why do I need to be set free? We're of Abraham's seed. Now, Abraham's seed got messed up too. I don't know. I says, did you read the book of Judges? I mean, over and over they were in bondage because of sin. They were all Abraham's seed. They needed to be set free, and that's what Jesus did. Then you consider, what does it mean to love him or follow him completely? It goes back to that phrase or those verses, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Here's the commitment, or here's the question. Jesus is talking to a big crowd. There's a bunch of people there. There's those that really love him and desire to know of him. There's those there, I'm sure, that really want to do what's right, but they struggle. They struggle with loving the wrong things, being willing to forsake all. And then there's other there that are probably just there for the show. They want to see what's going on. They're supposed to be there, so they're there. Not really interested. Jesus is there and saying, okay, now you may all say that you're my disciples. You may all say that you're committed followers of me, but if you're truly going to be a committed follower, if you're truly going to take that step, then you have to learn. There's no way you can commit it and follow me the way you're supposed to without learning of me first. And he's the one that says back there, hey, look, you got to have such a love and passion for me, it looks like you hate your family. You had to be willing to bear your cross and follow after me, even if it means the death of the cross. You have to be willing to forsake all. Those are all things. If you truly want to learn what I have for you, that's what it says. Ye cannot be my disciple, which means you're never going to learn exactly what you need to be that committed follower. I guess I've been saved for a lot of years in my life. I turned 48 this year. Isn't that crazy? I'm old. So that means either for 39 or 40 years, I've been saved. And I can look back over my life and see times when God's spoken to my heart and God's worked in my heart, and I've seen clear direction of what he wants me to do. I can also look back in my times in those days when I was not a committed follower and I did what I thought was right and when I did what I thought was best. But I always thought I was still a disciple of his. I always thought I was still a follower. I always thought I was still learning. But he says, ye cannot be my disciple unless you're willing to do this and this and this. Across the room, a lot of people say, yes, I'm a committed follower. Do you meet these qualifications? It doesn't say, am I dressed right? Am I going to the right places? Am I doing and saying the right things? Because we can all wear masks. It's saying, if you're going to learn from me, it's not even, hey, to be the pastor or to be the deacon or to be wives of them or to be leaders. This is the things. No, if you want to be someone who's going to learn of me, this is what we need to do. I don't know about you, but I want to learn about him. He's the one that's got the answers. He's the one that knows what's right. He's the one that knows exactly what I need to do. And I need his leadership and direction. I guess when the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understandings, and all thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. I guess that's what he's kind of saying here is, you got to trust him. You got to love him with all your heart. You got to trust him with all your heart. And you got to be willing to say, whatever your will is for me, I'm willing to do. Even if it means my own understandings. I'm not leaning to those. I'm willing to forsake those to get that knowledge. We need it today. We need people that are hearing from God. Moms and dads need to hear from God to raise their kids. Grandparents need to hear from God to help influence where you can. Church members. We can go down a long list of people. We need people that are hearing from the Lord and that are responding. A disciple is a pupil, a learner. Are we learning of him? And you say, Pastor, are you saying that I'm never going to learn anything from the Bible unless I do all those things? I'm not going to say that's true, because I know I have. I know God's spoken to my heart through the hardness of my heart. And But what he usually is doing when he's speaking to my heart is, hey, let's get this right. Look at this area of your life that you could work on. It's sort of like the Peter. There's something that needs to be knocked off, something that needs to be chafing, something that needs to be taken away. And we can learn so much more if we're willing to follow. I don't want to make the big decisions in my life without God saying, this is what you need to do. The only way you're going to learn and be a disciple is if you follow those three things. Let's pray.